room, Doctor, upstairs.
All packed. Thanks, Wilson.
Tuffy, get your bounce. I had you pegged for the one to make the grade.
Those are the breaks.
When are you taking off?
As soon as Dr. Chumley gets back.
Did you get a report back yet from the desk sergeant of the Police Accident Bureau?
Not yet. I just spoke to the downtown dispensary. They haven't seen him.
It's beginning to smell awful funny to me. 4 hours and not a word from him. I may not see you again, Doctor, so I'd like to say I wish you all luck, and I'm mighty sorry you got the kick in the butt.
Thanks, Wilson. Good luck to you, too.
Look, Kelly, let me know when you hear from the desk sergeant again. If there's no word from the doctor, I'm going into town and look for him myself. You should know better than go after a psycho without me.
I'd like to help look for the doctor, too, Wilson.
That's swell of you, Doctor. Right after you gave you the brush.
I've no resentment against Dr. Chumley. He was right. I was wrong. Chumley's the biggest man in his field. It's my loss not to be able to work with him.
You're not so smell yourself, Doc.
Thanks, Wilson.
Damnation!
Dr. Sanderson?
Yes?
Well, Doctor, I'd like to say that I wish you a lot of luck, too. And I'm sorry to see you leave.
Are you sure you can spare these good wishes, Miss Kelly?
Well, on second thought, I guess I can't. Forget it.
Miss Kelly, this is for nothing. Just a little advice. I'd be careful if I were you about the kind of company I kept.
I beg your pardon, Doctor.
You don't have to. I told you it was free. I saw you Saturday night dancing with that creep in the Rose Room at the Frontier Hotel.
Oh, did you? I didn't notice you.
I'd be careful of him, Kelly. He looked to me like a schizophrenic all the way across the floor.
You really shouldn't have given him a thought, Doctor. He was my date, not yours.
That was his mentality. The rest of them, well...
She was beautiful, though.
Who?
That girl you were with.
I thought you didn't notice.
Well, you bumped into us twice. How could I help it?
Not that it makes any difference to you, but that girl is a charming little lady. She has a sweet, kind disposition, and she knows how to conduct herself.
Funny she couldn't rate a better date on a Saturday night.
And she has an excellent mind.
Why doesn't she use it?
I don't suppose you ought to be censured for the flippin' hard shell you have. You're probably compensating for something.
I am not! And don't use any of your psychiatry on me!
Oh, if I could try something else on you, just once, just to see if you'd melt under any circumstances. I doubt it.
You'll never know, Doctor.
Because you interest me as a case history, that's all. I'd like to know where you get that inflated ego.
Oh! If you aren't the meanest person! Inflated ego, case history!
Don't run away, let's finish it.
Oh, leave me alone!
Black!
Chumley's rest. Oh, yes, Sergeant. No accident report on him either in town or the suburbs. Look, Sergeant, maybe we'd better do some... Oh, never mind, Sergeant, they're here now. Thanks anyway. Mr. Dowd.
Good evening, my dear. These are for you.
Oh, for me? Well, thank you.
They're quite fresh, too. I just picked them outside.
I hope Dr. Chumley didn't see you. They're his prized dahlias. Did he go upstairs?
Not knowing, I cannot state. Those colors are lovely against your hair.
Oh, I've never worn bright yellow. It's such a trying color.
You would improve any color, my dear.
Thank you. Did Dr. Chumley go over to his house?
I don't know. Oh, where is Dr. Sanderson?
Upstairs, I think.
Thank you.
Dow, there you are. I have a cab outside, if it's possible for you and Miss Kelly to get away now.
Where's Dr. Chum? Is he coming with us? That's nice.
I don't know, Doctor.
I must apologize for being a few seconds late. I thought Miss Kelly should have some flowers. After what happened out here this afternoon, the flowers really should be from you, Doctor. As you grow older and pretty women pass you by, you will think with deep gratitude of these generous girls of your youth. Shall we go now?
Just a minute, Dad. The situation has changed since you left here this afternoon, but I urge you have no resentments. Dr. Chumley is your friend. He only wants to help you.
That's very nice of him. I'd like to help him, too.
If you'll begin by taking a cooperative attitude, that's half the battle. We all have to face reality, Dad, sooner or later.
Doctor, I wrestled with reality for 40 years, and I'm happy to state that I finally won over it. Won't you and Miss Kelly join me now, down at Charlie's?
Here you are! Upstairs, buddy, we're going upstairs.
Is the doctor okay? Just a minute. There must be some mistake. Miss Kelly and Dr. Sanderson and I are going downtown for a drink. I'd be glad to have you come with us, Mr.
Wilson.
Wilson, they have a wonderful floor show.
Yeah?
went out?
As I said, he did not confide his plans in me.
You mean the doctor ain't shown up yet?
Not yet.
Where is he?
That's what we're trying to find out.
Mr. Dowd walked in here by himself.
Oh, he did, huh? Listen, you talk fast or I'm working over.
I'd rather you didn't do that. And I'd rather you didn't even mention such a thing in the presence of a lovely young lady like Miss Kelly.
Dr. Chumley went into town to pick you up. That was 4 hours ago.
Where has the evening gone to?
Listen to that smart, huh?
Wait a minute, Wilson. Did you see Dr. Chumley tonight, Dad?
Yes, I did. He came to Charlie's place at dinner time. It is a cozy spot. Let's all go there and talk it over with the tall one.
We're going no place. Now listen, you. I'm asking you a question. I want you to button up your lip and give me some straight answers, or I'm gonna beat it out of you.
What you suggest is impossible.
What's that?
You suggest that I button up my lip and give you some straight answers. It can't be done.
Let me handle this, Wilson.
Well, handle it then, but find out where the doctor is.
Dr. Chumley did go into Charlie's place, you say?
He did, and I was very glad to see him.
Go on.
Well, he had asked for me, and naturally the proprietor brought him over and left him. We exchanged the conventional greetings. I said, "How do you do, Dr. Chumley?" And he said, "How do you do, Mr. Dowd?" I believe we said that at least once.
Okay, okay.
I am trying to be factual. I then introduced him to Harvey.
To who?
A white rabbit, 6 feet tall.
6 feet?
6 feet, 6 and a half.
Okay, fooled them. And the doctor's probably lying some bitch bleeding to death.
If those were his plans for the evening, he didn't tell me.
Go on, Dowd.
Well, Dr. Chumley sat in the booth with us. I was seated on the outside like this. Harvey was seated on the inside near the wall. And Dr. Chumley was seated directly across from Harvey, where he could look at him.
That's right. Spend all night on the seating arrangements.
Harvey then suggested that I buy him a drink. Knowing that he doesn't like to drink alone, I suggested to Dr. Chumley that we join him.
And so?
We joined him.
Go on, go on.
We joined him again.
Then what?
We kept right on joining him.
Oh, skip all the joining.
You're asking me to skip a large portion of the evening.
Tell us what happened. Come on, please.
Dr. Chumley and Harvey got into a conversation, quietly at first. Later, it became rather heated, and Dr. Chumley raised his voice.
Yeah? Why?
Harvey seemed to feel Dr. Chumley should assume part of the financial responsibility of the joining. But Dr. Chumley didn't seem to want to do that.
I can believe that part of it.
Let him talk. This guy's got guts.
I agreed to take the whole thing, because I didn't want any trouble. We go to Charlie's quite often, Harvey and I. And the proprietor's a fine man, with an interesting approach to life. Then the other matter came up.
Cut the damn double talk and get out of it!
Mr. Wilson.
Huh?
You are a sincere type of person, but I must ask you not to use that language in the presence of Miss Kelly.
You're right, Dowd, and we're sorry. You say the other matter came up?
There was a beautiful blonde woman, a Mrs. Methels, and her escort, seated in the booth across from us. Dr. Chumley went over to sit next to her, explaining they'd once met in Chicago. Her escort escorted Dr. Chumley back to me and Harvey and tried to point out that it would be better for him to mind his own affairs. Does he have any?
Does he have any what?
Does he have any affairs?
How should I know?
Please hurry, Mr. Dowd. We're all very worried.
Dr. Chumley then urged Harvey to go with him over to Blondie's Chicken Inn. Harvey wanted to go to Eddie's and said, while they were arguing about it, I went to the bar to order another drink. And when I came back, they were gone.
Where'd they go? I mean, where'd the doctor go?
I don't know. I had a date out here with Dr. Sanderson and Miss Kelly and came to pick them up, hoping that later on we might run into Harvey and the doctor and make a party of it.
Okay, you satisfied? You got your story? Okay, you are lying and we know it.
I never lie, Mr. Wilson.
You've done something with the doctor and I'm finding out what it is.
Don't touch him, Wilson.
Maybe he isn't lying, Wilson.
That's all this guy is, a bunch of lies. You don't believe that story he tells you about the doctor sitting there talking to a big white rabbit, do you?
Maybe Dr. Chumley did go to Charlie's place.
And saw a big rabbit, I suppose.
And why not? Harvey was there. At first, the doctor seemed a little frightened of Harvey, but that gave way to admiration as the evening wore on. The evening wore on. That's a nice expression. With your permission, I'll say it again. The evening wore on.
your throat!
Mr. Wilson, haven't you some old friends you can go play with?
The Marvinist guy! He couldn't come out here with an ordinary case of DTs. No, he has to come out here with a fake white rag!
Stimulating as all this is, I really must be getting downtown.
Charlie's place? Is Dr. Chumley anywhere around there? He was with Mr. Dowd earlier in the evening. What? Well, you don't have to bite my head off. My, that man was mad. He said Mr. Dowd was welcome anytime, but his friend was not.
That's Mr. McNulty, the bartender. He thinks a lot of me. Now let's all go down and have a drink.
Wait a minute!
Mr. Dowd.
Yes, my dear. May I hold your hand?
Well, yes, if you want to. Mr. Dowd, poor Mrs. Chumley is so worried. Something must have happened to the doctor. Can't you try to remember something? Something that might help her. Please.
For you, I'd do anything. I'd almost be willing to live my life over again. Almost. But I've told it all.
You're sure?
Quite sure. But ask me again anyway, won't you? I like that warm tone you had in your voice just then.
So did I.
Oh, nuts!
What?
Nuts!
Oh, I must be going. I have things to do.
Mr. Dowd.
Yes, my dear.
Mr. Dowd, what is it you do?
Well, Harvey and I sit in the bars. And we have a drink or two. And play the jukebox. Soon the faces of the other people turn toward mine and smile. They're saying, "We don't know your name, mister, but you're a lovely fellow." Harvey and I warm ourselves in all these golden moments. We've entered as strangers. Soon we have friends. They come over. They sit with us. They drink with us. They talk to us. They tell us about the big, terrible things they've done. The big, wonderful things they will do. Their hopes, their regrets, their loves and their hates. All very large, because nobody ever brings anything small to a bar. Then I introduce them to Harvey. He's bigger and grander than anything they offer me. When they leave impressed. The same people seldom come back. But that's envy, my dear. There's a little bit of envy in the best of us. Too bad, isn't it? How did you happen to call him Harvey? Harvey is his name.
How did you know that?
That was rather an interesting coincidence, Doctor. One night, several years ago, I was walking early in the evening along Fairfax Street between 18th and 19th. You know the clock?
Yes.
I just helped Ed Hickey into a taxi. Ed had been mixing his rye with his gin, and I felt he needed conveying. I started to walk down the street when I heard a voice saying, "Good evening, Mr. Dowd." I turned. There was this great white rabbit leaning against the lamppost. Well, I thought nothing of that, because when you have lived in a town as long as I've lived in this one, you get used to the fact that everybody knows your name. Naturally, I went over to chat with him. He said to me, "Ed Hickey is a little spiffed this evening, or could I be mistaken?" Well, of course, he was not mistaken. I think the world and all of Ed, but he was spiffed. Well, anyway, we stood there and talked. And finally I said to him, "You have the advantage of me. You know my name, and I don't know yours." Right back at me, he said, "What name do you like?" Well, I didn't even have to think for a minute. Harvey has always been my favorite name. So I said, "Harvey." And this is the interesting part of the whole thing. He said, "What a coincidence. My name happens to be Harvey."
Dad, what was your father's name?
John. John Frederick.
Dad, when you were a child, you had a playmate, didn't you? Someone you were very fond of with whom you spent many happy, carefree hours?
Oh, yes, Doctor.
Didn't you? What was his name?
Vern. Vern McElhenney. Did you ever know the McElhenneys, Doctor?
No.
Too bad. There were a lot of them, and they circulated. Wonderful people.
Think carefully, Dad. Wasn't there ever someone, somewhere, sometime, whom you knew by the name of Harvey? Didn't you ever know anybody by that name?
No, Doctor, no one. Maybe that's why I've always had such hopes for it.
Come on, Wilson. We're going to take Mr. Dad upstairs now.
I'm taking him no place. You've made this your show. You want him. Let him sit there. Forgetting all about Dr. Chumley. Okay, it's your show. Now run it.
Come on, Elwood. Very well, Lyman. But I'm afraid I won't be able to visit.